Hi, I'm Bob Mould, and you are listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5 FM.
The opinions presented on the Healthy Steps show are the evidence-based opinions of Dr. Fred Harvey, the callers, and his guests. These are not the opinions of the staff, the volunteers, or the board of WMNF. The information provided on the show is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease. There is no implied patient-physician relationship in these calls. The nature of the calls is educational and informational only.
Good morning to you. Yes, you, my dear roommate in Radio Land, you are listening to the beating heart of news and music here on WMNF Tampa, the only radio station that they stream in Summerland, and you can stream us as well at WMNF.org. And welcome to the Healthy Steps radio show. Today is, again, dedicated to you. It is the Ask Me Anything show, the best darn thing to come down the radio pike since Mercury Theater. Today is not the day to be a foot shuffler or mealy-mouthed. You have waited too long for this, so wait no more. There is nobody that can ask your question as well as you can, and there is nobody that can answer your question better than Dr. Harvey. And gosh darn it, you know what to do. If you have any medical questions or concerns, please give us a call at 813-239-9663. Irene is looking forward to putting you in the queue. And again, that number is 813-239-9663. You can also send an email to dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. Good morning to you, Dr. Harvey. AMA is always a rootin' tootin' kind of show, so I'm going to stop my yammering here and give you the mic. What have you got for us today, Dr. Fred?
Well, happy Monday and happy Round Moon Day.
Absolutely.
What a beautiful letting in the light this weekend was. Today it's such a powerful day. I don't know if you can feel it, but the moons always affect me and I have so much energy. This is the full moon in the sign, well, the sun is in the sign of Aries. Aries is about fire, about ramming forward with projects, with creativity, and it's just bursting out. I can see it all over. The plants are flowering. My mangoes are just filled with inflorescence. It is spring, and it's obvious this world is waking up from the winter. So, so much is going on, so many interesting things keep showing up in the airwaves. I was rather interested recommending physician for medical cannabis. I try to stay apprised of the issues associated with this chemical, the chemicals in it, and this substance, and there has been some suggestion that the use of marijuana cannabis actually might be associated with an increased risk of some cardiac arrhythmias, extra beats, and chaotic rhythms. And what actually is the key is that it's recent research is showing that no, it's actually not causing these arrhythmias. That's an underlying cardiac issue. However, there is some bad news. And it comes back, and I think I've mentioned this before, but the study was recently published 28 February of this year. And it's relating to particulates from my perspective, and not just cannabis use. And this is one of the reasons that smoking of any kind is bad, including people who rely on fire to cook food. And there are many. The third world has a lot of people who still depend on wood or coal burning to cook their food. And many of these are in, little huts. So the women who are tend to be the cooks of the family end up getting subjected to massive amounts of particulate. And it is actually causing health challenges for them. But back to cannabis, there was a large study done that looked at people who were never tobacco smokers and who use cannabis. And they found out that people who actually smoke cannabis on a daily basis, this is a big study too. They looked at a retrospective of almost 500,000 people, 434,000 respondents to the study. And they found that there was a significant increase of adverse outcomes. Never tobacco smokers' daily cannabis use associated with a risk of heart attack was 1.5 times baseline. Stroke, 2 times baseline. And the composite of coronary heart disease, heart attack, and stroke was 1.77 times. So there is, and this is for people under 55 years of age for men and under 65 years of age for women. So this is young people actually having more stroke, heart attack, and overall cardiac disease from smoking. This is smoking. And that's why when I actually make recommendations for years, I have been making the recommendation that people do not smoke. They use dry flower vapor devices. That's where you grind up the flower and put it in a device that heats up and then vaporizes the effective compounds in the cannabis, and that is the THC, the CBD, the terpenes, and other aromatics without burning it. Because when we burn things, we make ionized particles. Ionized particles are free radicals. They actually cause cellular damage. They cause inflammation. And then the other part of it is that burning creates something called polyaromatic hydrocarbons. PAHs are persistent organic pollutants. They are pretty much the toxins in any smoke that can induce disease. And so there are a couple good reasons now not to smoke cannabis, though it's maybe the easier way. Papers are cheap and so is a bowl that lasts forever. However, buying a device for a couple extra dollars may actually save you the heart attack, the stroke, or the coronary artery disease. And I think that's really a critical thing to think about when you're using something that, you know, many people consider an herb and not a drug. Well, it is, and it's fine, but it's actually really potentially highly toxic in smoked form. So it can be eaten. When you bake the cannabis at about 350 degrees, it will actually convert into the active form. The cannabis in your raw flour is not active, but once it's been cooked, it does something called decarboxylation, which activates the THC in it and makes it effective as a mood alterer and a potentially a pain reliever. And so edible is a possibility. Vapor is a possibility. And then using extracts to either use sublingually, which these have been activated, or to use in a vapor device as a purified extract. These are all not smoking. They don't burn the flower, and so you don't get the potentially toxic substances. And so with that in mind, I think that cannabis is still a useful tool, but we have to really pay attention to how we use it, as we do with anything, because there is a risk-benefit for any intervention that we do. And I just want to remind people that you can intervene here on the show by making a call. This is the Healthy Steps Show in Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM.
And I'm going to put some filler in that. Give us a call at 813-239-9663. Irene's already taken a couple of your calls, so let's keep her busy. You can continue to send an email to dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. And this is the Healthy Steps Radio Show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. And the topic is Ask Me Anything, so go wild with any of your medical questions or concerns. That number again is 813-239-9663. Let's go to Susan. Good morning, Susan.
Hello?
Hello, Susan.
Hi, doctor. I'm calling on behalf of a family friend who has psoriatic arthritis. He was diagnosed as a teenager. He's now in his 50s. He's on methotrexate to control the symptoms, but knows he cannot stay on that, in perpetuity, so to speak. So we're wondering if you have any recommendations both for diet and for supplements.
Yes, psoriatic arthritis, that is a challenge. You hear the first word there, psoriatic, that means it is related to the condition called psoriasis. Psoriasis is a skin condition where you get red, itchy, scaly plaques on your extensor surfaces like your elbows and your knees. Sometimes it's elsewhere in the body, often in the scalp. And this issue is an autoimmune disease. So it affects your whole body. It just shows up for most people in the skin. However, some people, unfortunately, have a predisposition for it to go to their joints. And it works there kind of like rheumatoid arthritis and starts to really destroy the joints. It eats them up. And it's a very relentless process unless you can interrupt it. Medications like methotrexate, which is a chemotherapy medicine that interrupts the function of the white blood cells, actually can give some remission help. However, it is an anti-metabolite and it interferes with all the systems in the body. It just happens that the white blood cells are affected more. So we don't want to use medications like that if possible. In functional medicine, the approach is to start with the diet. And so there are several good diets that are available online. One is called the AIP, the Autoimmune Protocol, written up by one doctor. It's very, very strict. Slightly less strict is one called the Walls Protocol, W-A-H-L-S. Terry Walls had multiple sclerosis. She's a doctor and didn't respond well to the immunosuppressant.
What was the first one again? I didn't quite get it.
AIP. AIP. Autoimmune Protocol.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so those are two really good places to start. And the really foundations in those are you're not allowed to have processed foods, no added sugar, no grains of any kind. Not just gluten-free, but grain-free and bean-free, no legumes. So no green beans and no lentils, none of that, because they are suggested to be quite triggering to the body, even if you're not allergic to them. And it's kind of a paleo diet where you eat lots of vegetables, say 9 cups of fruits and vegetables a day, plus 10 to 16 ounces of lean meat, fish, poultry, and add to that, because you need your minerals, some seaweed snacks. They're available, crunchy nori and things like that, gets you iodine and a variety of trace minerals. And then fermented foods to help with your microbiome. Little bits of oils from, olives and avocados are good, and eating avocados might be okay too. But it's a really very clean diet. It's a whole food diet, and it really helps to start make a shift for your systems.
Okay. We've been pushing plant-based. So, it's going to be kind of up to him, but we wondered about supplements also.
Well, I think the plant-based actually has a lot of, when you do plant-based, you're looking at bean protein as one of your principal proteins. And for people with autoimmune disease, it may not be the best choice. Supplementation, always get lots of omega-3 fatty acids or eat your oily fish. A good multivitamin, a good broad-based probiotic, and some anti-inflammatories like curcumin and boswellia. Salicylic acid, not acetylsalicylic acid like an aspirin. And then if there's pain, FDA just came out with another warning about acetaminophen, also known as Tylenol. We don't want to use more than 4 grams in a healthy adult, more than 4 grams of Tylenol in a day. And that can be complicated because many cold and allergy remedies have Tylenol in them to help with the headaches or whatever. And so you need to pay attention. 4,000 milligrams of acetaminophen is the maximum. And I would try to stay well below that at 2,000 milligrams or less for most people. I hope that helps.
That's very good. Would you repeat those supplements? Curcumin, I got that, and I didn't get the next two.
Curcumin, boswellia, and salicylic acid from white willow bark.
Okay. Salicylic acid. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Okay.
And thank you, Susan. Don't have the name, but I've got a caller from Bradenton here. Good morning to you. What's your name, by the way?
Fez. I've been Fez my whole life. Anyway, hi, doctor.
Hi, Bradenton. What's your name?
I don't know. I can hear you well.
What is your name?
Fez. I've been saying it all over and over again.
Anyway, hey there, Fez.
Fez. Okay, hi.
I've been listening to the show a long time. I heard you recommend to other people to take the food sensitivity test, right?
Yes.
And so I did that, and I got the results back, and I'm looking at it right now. And just got in, and the show came on. I was like, well, I'm surprised by some of this because I didn't know what I'd find, but I guess I don't know how to read it because I have like 94% sensitivity to rapeseed and common things like avocado, which I love avocado. I've never noticed any problem with avocado, or wheat or milk in that sense.
That's a very good observation. Most people who have food sensitivities and eat them on a regular basis have a state of being that is irritated. And the constant irritation becomes background noise, and we don't notice a change in the background noise when we continue to support the background noise by eating foods to which we are sensitive. Once we eliminate them and spend time away from them, then we might notice upon reintroduction that the body reacts. On the other hand, sometimes there are some very significant reactions in specific foods, but in reality, some of the other things that show up on the test are simply noise because the body's so irritated by some of the major irritants. Could be gluten, could be dairy, could be eggs, not really sure what, but any one of those triggers could make other allergies seem to be present. And then when you reintroduce the foods that were on the list, some of them may not react because they weren't really a food sensitivity, they were some cross reactivity.
Yeah, like gold is on here and at 85%. And I remember when I started wearing gold jewelry, like I put on a gold ring and got married, and it was fine for a while, but after a year, after some months or something, after not that long, I'm not talking 10 years, but, after a while, that really, I felt that inflammation, I felt that, but that's one example here at 85%. Other things, it says I have 99% sensitivity to dogs, and I've never had a problem with dogs. I've never had a dog, but it's not my fault, I would say.
Interesting. Yeah. So gold, most people do not react to gold. And I'm not sure what kind of a blood test that you would get that would actually check your
blood test. It was the one you recommend for the hair, the test my food sensitivity, where you send in the hair.
I have never seen a test like that. I have never seen any science to support a hair test for food sensitivity. I have no idea what that would be. None of my colleagues use it. I have never heard it talked about at any nutritional or immunologic conference ever.
Could it be a scam? Anything could be a scam nowadays.
Yeah, I've never heard of this one, guy. Maybe you should talk to a functional medicine doctor and get a good food sensitivity test.
when, because when you were talking to somebody before in another show, you know, call in, ask me anything, you were, somebody had another problem, and you were like, well, for that, you need to get a food sensitivity test. I thought I followed that, because it was interesting, and
that is interesting. I'd be interested in getting more information about a test that does it in hair, but I know of none that do that.
It was, I think it was for someone that was in Canada. But I was like, Canada, so what? But you would only trust a food or other sensitivity through blood, not from hair.
Well, I would trust one that has some science. I have never, ever seen anyone talk science on a hair test for food sensitivity. So I don't know what that test would do. I have no idea to tell you whether it's true or not, but just from my experience, I've never seen anyone talk about it publicly in all of the 30 years that I've been doing nutritional medicine. So, good luck following up on that.
All right, well, I'll probably forward it as an email to DJ. Anyway.
Yeah, please do that, Fez.
Yes.
Yeah.
Send it to DJ at WMNF.org.
Yeah.
Probably. Have a great week.
I thought I got it here. All right.
Thanks for your input. It's an interesting one.
Okay, thank you now. And I've got Christina in St. Petersburg on the line. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Dr. Harvey, I wanted to ask a follow-up question based on the research that you revealed about medical marijuana smoking at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
Kind of a two-part question. I found myself in a habit. It helps me. I'm really trying to gain weight still. I've gained some with my exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, but smoking the marijuana once a day was really helping me to gain even more because of the increase in appetite. However, I've always been concerned about the possibility of lung cancer.
Sure.
I don't know what those studies are, but...
I've not seen any. I have not seen any evidence that it increases lung cancer, but it is particulate, and it may. However, we know that the cannabinoids may be modifying some of that response, inflammation, et cetera, so it may be helping take the edge off of it. Cigarette smoking, has all the other toxins in it that probably help to produce the cancers. But I haven't seen one. I've just seen it with heart disease so far.
Okay, interesting. That being said, I do have a concern about that research. And my question for you is, with the vaping, does it need to be any particular special brand or model of a vape, or do you just buy the vape from your medical marijuana doctor?
Well, the doctor doesn't sell them. The dispensaries do, and so do vape shops. And there are a lot of different ones out there. One of the first on the market was called the PAX, P-A-X. And actually, I was just glancing at the New York Times reviews. They have this wire cutter review that looks at all kinds of things. Had a great review on different coffees and which one is the best. But they have one on which cannabis vape devices are the best. And the new PAX Plus actually just won their review. But there are, different styles, different methods. There's an old one called the Volcano that sits on your table and has a long tube and you smoke it like a hookah. There are many different ways of delivering the dry flower vapor.
Gotcha. But they all share that safety mechanism, so to speak, in place. It's better. They're all better than, like you said, smoking.
Yeah, and there's some argument that you might want to look for one that has a ceramic chamber, because ceramics don't actually, when they heat up, they don't off-gas metals, whereas a metal chamber might actually vaporize a little bit of metal with your with your vape. But if you think about it, you're heating that to 350 degrees. Metal melts at, you know, thousands. So I really don't think there's much of a problem with a nice, clean stainless steel chamber like in the packs. The ceramic one that shows up in several others. And most of the ceramic ones are smaller. So for people that only want to do a smaller amount, one with a smaller chamber makes more sense, because if you have a big chamber packed, you're going to actually waste some of that if you're not going to smoke it all or vape it all.
Right, right. And I noticed when I did try it one time, it made me cough really bad. And that's okay. That I didn't know what I was doing, so I might have inhaled too deeply. But that's okay when it does that.
Well, anytime you inhale particulate, it's likely you're going to cough. So, and even vapor droplets act like particulate, though they don't have chunks of stuff in it. And so, yeah, you're going to get coughing no matter how you inhale cannabis vapor or smoke. But so if you want to avoid coughing, edible is a good option. And, a small dose of tincture or a capsule or a gummy could actually get you the result that you want with increasing your appetite.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Harvey. Have a wonderful
day. You're welcome. You too.
Thank you, Christina. And I've got Gordon, Michelle, and Greg on the line. Greg all the way from Chicago, but Gordon's been waiting quite patiently. Good morning to you, Gordon.
Good morning to you, Dr. Fred. I listen to your program like regularly, as I did your predecessor, Eve Van Clue. But I'm calling. Our daughter will be 40 later this year, and she is very well read on eating healthy, and she follows the guidelines that you know she reads, and she's also in an extremely rigorous exercise program. But last year she discovered that her B12 numbers were in the 100. And she's been getting shots for a year now, and those numbers have only increased to 200. So I'm here to ask you, what recommendations would you have?
Well, I need more information because I don't know the distance, the time elapsed between last injection and the lab test that says her level's still low.
Okay, well, she gets the injections monthly, and the doctor recommended that she not do the pill that I do, sublinear.
So we don't know what the meaning of her lab results are, other than she has low B12, and that when she does injections, it may or may not affect the level. It seems like it has increased it, doubled it, but not into the reference range or the optimal range. The optimal range is going to be over 500. And so since she's still below, it could mean that at the end of a month, they checked her level and it really didn't do much. But I think that sublingual and intranasal have both been shown to actually result in really decent levels. And since she didn't respond to a monthly injection, in all my patients, I recommend that they try methylcobalamin sublingual. And methyl B12 sublingual is extremely well absorbed. It bypasses the stomach. And sometimes people who have had chronic stomach problems, chronic gastritis and things like that, or they have small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or delayed gastric emptying, gastroparesis, these things can all result in lowered B12 levels. So I think the best thing to do would be to try daily sublingual B12 and check the level after a month and see if it's improved.
And we would stop the monthly shot.
I'm not going to suggest that because it's obviously not doing it. She can do whatever she wants with the shot, but I would just add in the pill. And if it gets better, then you know the pill worked.
Okay. And she actually asked her doctor about this, and the doctor told her no.
So, obviously the shot's not working. What was his answer? How did he want to fix that?
I don't think there was an answer for that.
Oh, but not good. Okay.
I do know that I do the subliminal, and it worked for me immediately.
Yeah, it works for nearly everyone. So I wish your daughter best with that. Hope she sees her B12 level better in a month. And if she doesn't want to go back to the doctor to check her B12 level, go to any lab test now and get a B12 level drawn and find out.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Have a good day. Bye.
You too.
Yes, and I've got Gordon from the Windy City. Good morning to you there, Greg. Hello, Greg.
Hello. Hello, Dr. Eight, Dr. Harvey.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's Greg here in Chicago. Great. Love your show again. I actually had a little eye injury. I wanted to run by you. I'm mid-60s, fairly healthy. And I've been dealing with some floaters a little bit here and there, and I saw an optometrist, and he said, you know, it's common with age. It's PVD, posterior vitreous detachment, and leads to floaters. Well, unfortunately, I was working, and I was pulling on a cord outside and using a saw in the rain, and it snapped loose, and it hit me directly in the left eye. And it was pretty painful. They were worried. I came in. They dilated the pupil. They saw that the retina seemed healthy, but he was a little concerned. He asked me to come back in a week. They looked at it again. He said, you're not out of the woods yet where you could have a retinal detachment as that vitreous humor is pulling away. And I'm certainly getting a lot more floaters, and I get these flashes of white light. And he said, well, if that gets worse, we need to start thinking about another avenue. So I think I'm kind of hit a plateau with all that. But my question is, as always, I think about, is there anything? He said the only restriction is don't box. I'm like, well, I'm not a boxer. But is there anything I can do nutritionally? Is there something like lutein or something that can help the eye? Or is this just an age-related plus now trauma-exacerbated issue, and I should just go the course and live my normal life without doing anything special?
That's really interesting. I'm not sure that there is a lot to do since it's mechanical. However, you know, good eye antioxidants could be useful. I like a Zymogen nutraceuticals supplement called EyeSight, SIGHT. It's got a really great combination of herbal antioxidants and supports, and also the carotenoids like lutein and carotene and lycopene, all for good support of the retina. And it's also got some taurine in it and some alpha lipoic acid. Taurine is really good for eye structure. Another thing that could be useful is just staying really hydrated, because the vitreous, when it dries, pulls away from the eye. So that would be a way to keep it a little more flush in there.
I kind of thought the same thing. I'm putting on the good filtered water through my Alta system here. So, yeah, I'll stay hydrated. And I can't hurt, certainly. I was on Zymogen for a tendon issue, which is awesome. So I like their product line. But it's tough because there's nobody in my area that, you know, you have to have a physician prescribe it. I mean, I've just been going online. I'm hoping I'm getting, you know, fresh supplies of this, unless you have another suggestion where to get, you know, more Zymogen products other than online. It's actually through an Amazon purchases. Do you have any suggestion there where I could find another avenue for finding these nutraceuticals?
You could find them in a functional medicine doctor's office. A functional pharmacy also can carry them, and then online, like the Healthy Steps store and other places like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's been tough. I would love to get a functional medicine doctor out here, and I've just, you'd think Chicago would have a ton of people. I'm in the suburbs, actually, not any close to the city, a half hour away, but yeah, I can't seem to find somebody that's got that's on the site, that's licensed and reputable. I come across other doctors that claim to be, you know, alternative medicine, which I don't believe in. It's like you said, it's kind of a fancy term for somebody who's still doing it the old way, the traditional way of this country. But Yeah,
it's kind of tough. There are more and more of us getting trained every day, but they are still sparse. I think there are 1 million doctors licensed in America, and there's probably about 1,000, maybe 1,500 of us that are actually certified in functional medicine.
Unbelievable. I didn't think it was that low. Wow.
Yeah.
I want to let you know, too, I thought it was really interesting. I caught half of it, but some of it seemed kind of odd, but some of it seemed great that it's called Eating You Alive. I don't know. It just happened to be on TV and I was doing my taxes, and it kind of caught my attention about diet and other things where people have been diagnosed with cancer and some significant disease that decided not to go the route their doctor was saying and change their diet and lifestyle and had complete recoveries and remissions and things like psoriasis and asthma and things that one woman had along with cervical cancer all go away. And with some significant but relatively straightforward lifestyle changes, which I, of course, is what you and I believe in. But I just can't believe that there's not more healers out there like you that want to look at the cause and then what do we do with the body to fix it, not just take care of the symptoms. I'm literally scouring the internet to find somebody out here, and I wish I was down by you because it sounds like there'd be a lot more opportunity. So I thank you for people like you and yourself helping us out here because it makes a world of difference.
You're so welcome. Glad to do it. It is a challenge because so many people are bought into a paradigm of narrow-mindedness. When you focus solely on illness and not on function, you really end up creating more problems. As we know, there are 250,000 people that die in America annually from properly prescribed medications, because probably the diagnosis was really wrong because we're treating a symptom and not a cause. And so medical issues are the third leading cause of death, drug-related death after...
Well, I didn't know that.
After heart and cancer. So yeah, medicine is not benign. We need to use it with caution.
Amen. Well, well stated. And it was good to hear that. Thank you, gentlemen, for being out there. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, Greg. And I see that you're getting some foul weather coming on through today and tomorrow in Chicago.
Here it comes. Yep. Thank you.
All right. You take care.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
And I've got Andy in Wachula. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning.
Hi there.
I have probably for the last 5 years, I've gotten maybe a dozen operations to remove squamous and basal cell skin cancers. And recently, I was talking to my primary care physician, and I said, you know, I'm tired of getting cut. I'm tired of every 6 months or so, and isn't there an alternative to surgery? And she said, well, there is something called Fluoracil. And I asked my my dermatologist, and he said, well, yeah, I would support that. And he prescribed me, it's an ointment. And I was just wondering, what was your opinion on its effectivity or whatever?
Actually, 5-fluorouracil is chemotherapy, and it is effective. There are several options. One option is a bit more expensive than the 5-FU is an abbreviation for that chemical, and that is something called blue light therapy. And they paint a chemical onto your skin and then subject you to ultraviolet light. And it induces a change in the cells that are precancerous and cancerous and kills them. And then they end up falling off. It's the same mechanism for the 5-fluorouracil, but it's a little less overall toxic because you're not putting the chemotherapy on. This is a non active kind of chemotherapy that works with the ultraviolet to work on specifically those bad cells. So there are options out there, and they do work, rather than continuing to get skin cancers removed. It's an option.
Okay. I didn't ask him, but I was wondering why he didn't recommend Fluor still 5 years ago. But so anyway, he said it would be like 2 to 3 weeks before any positive results. So I guess I should just continue using the Fluoracil and see what happens on my next examination.
Well, actually, you'll use the Fluorouracil for about 3 weeks until your skin gets so red it looks like you've just spent a full day in July sun in Florida. And then that burn heals and falls off. And then the precancers and cancers fall off with that. It's not perfect, but it takes quite a lot of those away, and it does rejuvenate the skin to some extent. But you only use that for a limited time until your skin becomes very reactive to it.
Because I've only gotten 1 tube of it, and my pharmacy keeps on saying, you're ready for your refill.
Wow. I don't know how many times, but I would talk with the dermatologist about exactly how many times he wants you to refill that and how long he wants you to use it, because it is a time-limited prescription.
Okay. I will check that out. All right, well, I appreciate it. And that blue light therapy, is that widely available? Or?
I just had it a couple of weeks ago at my dermatologist.
Okay. So they should have the know how to do it there.
Yes, all and right, if they don't, find a new one, because you need the options.
All right, I certainly appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
All right. Thank you there, Andy. And I know you've got a stack of emails that have been coming on in, and we'll come back to the phones in a minute. So I'm going to give on out the number and have people be ready for you. This is the Healthy Steps Radio Show with Dr. Fred Harvey. Give us a call at 813-239-9663 and ask your questions. Off to you there, doctor.
Wonderful. Thanks. Jem asks, hi, I get chronic ankle sprains in my right ankle. That's really common, actually. When you sprain once, you often will sprain again because that tendon ligament system is weaker. But she says that she's recently sprained her left, and now she's not sure about the best supplement to start or how to start training the ankles. So there are some really interesting ankle exercises in Qigong and Tai Chi. I think that starting with those, because they're extremely gentle and they work on control of the ankle from the toes up. And there's some really very good things there. And I would start now because they aren't impact, they aren't high stress. If you're able to put weight on that ankle at this point, once it's pain-free is when I would consider starting. And then supplements. To strengthen your tendons and ligaments, you want good protein. There's a company from Spain called BioIberica that sells a very high quality collagen or several collagen products to nutraceutical companies worldwide. One of them is Zymogen, and they have a supplement called Synovix, S-Y-N-O-V-X, tendon and ligament. That is one of the most amazing tools to help rebuild your tendons and ligaments. It will help to reorganize frayed, stressed out tendons and bring them back together. It helps to make better collagen and it reduces inflammation. That's a really good thing. And orthosilicic acid available over the counter called Biosil, that one helps to build collagen. So there's some really good things to do there. And then class 4 laser helps to bring circulation and fibroblasts, that's the cells that make collagen, brings fibroblasts and vascular systems into areas of injury. And so class 4 laser from a physical therapist or a chiropractor or a acupuncturist, most of them have these devices. They're really effective. Jeannie asks, what food sensitivity test and what does it cost? I use a couple of different ones, but a really good comprehensive one that looks at allergy and sensitivity to give you a really broad look at your reaction to foods. That one's called the Precision Points Food Sensitivity Test, Precision Point Diagnostics out of Atlanta. I think it costs about $350. And so that's kind of the baseline for a high quality one that I have trust in and has generally reproducible results. Let's see. Charles says, thanks for the info about cannabis. I was going to ask you about that today. I started using the Solo vaporizer not quite 2 years ago. It has adjustable temperature settings that you set by degree. Very happy with it. Any idea why vaping dry flowers at 428 degrees Fahrenheit makes me cough more than smoking a joint or through a bowl? Yes, there's a very good reason for that. 428 is extremely hot. And so you probably don't need to vape your dry flower that high. 360, 380, somewhere in that range is probably effective. You also get better flavor from the terpenes at that level. And so you'll probably get a bit less coughing. And you might want to consider a slower draw. And also, if it continues to be a problem, this is where a device like the Volcano comes in, because it actually has a setting where you turn on a fan that blows air slowly through the cannabis in the heating chamber. And it has an attachment that allows you to fill up a bag. It's kind of like a turkey roasting bag from back in the day. I don't think anybody's using those anymore, but it's a big plastic bag, and it fills up with the vapor, and then you can breathe cooled vapor out of the bag. And are there any health differences for vaping oils as opposed to vaping dry flowers? The only difference I would see there is if you're going to use the extract, go with live rosin extract, which is extracted in water from the fresh flower, whereas the oils are often extracted using butane or alcohol or carbon dioxide from frozen or dried flower. And so I think that having live rosin is more like the actual plant. And I think we have some callers.
Indeed we do. Again, the person of patience is Peter in Palm Harbor, and right behind him is John in Plant City. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, good morning, Doc. How are you? Just two comments on previous callers' questions there. One of them was about blue light and the 5-FU. It is the 5-FU is toxic. I've known people that have had serious reactions to that, and it's brutal. I was very close to doing it, and it was like no. After I researched it, it's like no. I'm definitely not doing this. The blue light, I heard you say you just recently did it. I did that once or twice. It was pretty good. It results didn't last too long. However, what stopped me from that was when they were preparing you, they put something on your face down. It's like, why do I know this smell? I'm saying to myself. I said, excuse me. I said, what is that you're cleaning my face with? And it was acetone.
Yes.
This is a class one carcinogen.
Yes.
And I said, well, listen, we're here to get rid of carcinogen, carcinogenic material, and why are you cleaning my face with a carcinogen? They had absolutely no answer. So I'm really trying my hardest to stay away from dermatology, but it's hard to do.
I totally agree with you. I chose to do it because the 5-FU is, as you describe it, can be kind of brutal, and I really didn't want to have that kind of a burn. I got a good result, but I don't think it's something that I want to repeat very frequently. And the man with all the skin cancers, I didn't get a chance really to mention that I think it's really important to get some supplementation going. And one of my favorite supplements is called Cytokine Balance from Zymogen, but you can find it in other places. One actually, a multi-level company has one called Protandim. But basically what it is a combination of things that will stimulate your cells to clean themselves up. So in my favorite one is the broccoli extract called sulforaphane. Also a Japanese knotweed or red wine extract called resveratrol. And there is also some quercetin and some curcumin in this combination, and some green tea extract, epigallocatechin gallate. EGCG from green tea actually is a stimulus to get rid of skin cancers. So the more you do these, the more likely you're going to have healthier skin. It's not a cure for the cancer, but at least it helps the cells metabolize better.
Yeah, I do sulforaphane at your suggestion, actually, a couple of years ago. And what the heck, it's broccoli. It seems to have an effect. I'm not sure. Not to skip over, but I know you're busy. So earlier, think you were talking about, different delivery methods for THC. I'm a big fan of tincture, which is it's basically oil. And I try to get the RSO version, the Rick Simpson version, where it takes the entire plant. And I try to look for something that, is not made with alcohol or whatever. But tincture is great. You put a little under your tongue. You wait, 5 minutes or so. You swallow it. And a half an hour later, wow, those trees outside look really nice. And it definitely helps me sleep. I saw a TED talk last night on THC and sleep, and it was from Perth, Australia, and the bottom line was they don't know. But they did like this humongous study on it, and it occurred to me that I heard this before. Cannabis is the most studied drug ever. And, in comparison to drugs that are put out by the FDA that are not studied at all.
Yeah. Totally agree.
I'm a big fan of tincture. No inhaling, no smoking, no vapors, no nothing. I don't smoke anything.
Yes, I agree. It's really better to not. And just to mention, Rick Simpson oil is very concentrated, different from doing the other concentrates like the live rosin extract. All very effective in getting the results that we want.
Right. And another real quick one. Rick Simpson became famous because he was using cannabis for skin cancer for his father.
Right.
Later on himself. So, I looked into that early on, way back, and, using high concentrate, basically tar, from cannabis placed on the skin cancer, and it worked for him.
Yeah.
And his father.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would do actually a clinical trial with it. It's probably going to be coming, but so I think we're down. We're done, my friend. I've got to sign off here and have a great week.
Thanks, Doc. Take care. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you there, Peter, and sorry to you, John. Give a call next week, and we'll try this again. So what have you got for us, Doctor?
Well, thank you again, Bill, for producing, and Irene for fielding the calls. Another wonderful show with wonderful people asking absolutely great questions. I love what I do, and we're going to do it again next week. So until then, take some healthy steps so we can continue this conversation.
Absolutely. And it's obvious that you love what you do because you do a great job there, Doctor. And so does Irene. I want to thank her for answering the phones and say to folks, until next Monday, till next Monday, keep listening to WMNF here in Tampa and stay healthy.
show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. Up ahead is 5 minutes of NPR news, followed by the Sustainable Living Show, hosted by the sanctified duo of Annie Ellis and Tanya Vidovic. So until next Monday at 10 a.m., thank you for supporting and listening to the Healthy Steps radio show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa, your community-conscious radio station. Stay safe, stay thoughtful, and know that you are loved.